spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Leaf Shall Be Green, was written by Joseph Mindell. It is one of a series of programs dramatizing outstanding moments in American Jewish history. You will find it in the sayings of the fathers. He whose wisdom exceeds his deeds, to what is he like? To a tree whose branches are many, but whose roots are few, and the wind comes and plucks it up and overturns it upon its face. But he whose deeds exceed his wisdom, to what is he like? To a tree whose roots are many, so that even if all the winds in the world come and blow upon it, it cannot be stirred from its place. His leaf shall be green, and he shall not cease from yielding fruit. I will tell you of a man of learning and understanding. He was a tall man, but he never looked down on anyone. His eyes were calm with wisdom, and the lines in his face were smoothed away by gentleness. His name was Sabato Morais, and his leaf shall be green. And yet, in Philadelphia, a little more than 100 years ago, this gentle scholar was not always received with gentleness.
Your sermon was outrageous, Mr. Morais. Do you hear?
I'm listening, Mr. Levy.
It's your duty to lead the congregation in prayer, in matters of religion, not in political matters.
You mean that religion should be confined to the synagogue?
You know very well what I mean, Mr. Morais. You're a minister, a chazan. It's not for you to preach abolitionist sermons.
Will you, Mr. Levy?
The problem is... What do you mean?
I know you. I know that you're a good man. But if a stranger were to hear you, he would surely think that you approve of slavery.
That's not the point. The problem is very complicated.
To me, it seems very simple.
Exactly. You do not understand how slavery is woven into the economy of the North, as well as the South.
I understand, Mr. Levy, but there is something else that requires understanding. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt.
Anyone can quote the scripture.
Then why would you not believe that the words mean precisely what they say?
Mr. Morais, the congregation engaged a minister, not an abolitionist.
No, sir, the congregation engaged me with all that I am and believe. And therefore...
There's no use in any further talk.
You will be good enough to hear me out. Mr. Levy... Your ancestors fled to the New World from the Inquisition in Brazil. Mine left Spain for the same reason and settled in Italy. My father was imprisoned for speaking out in the name of freedom. And Mazzini, whom I knew in London, will bring freedom to Italy.
I am not interested in your life story.
You will listen, nevertheless. There are many kinds of slavery, Mr. Levy. I am opposed to them all. And I will make my opposition known.
Will you, Mr. Morais? We'll see about that.
My friends, I hope, I believe, that this congregation will reconsider its recent decision. For today, since you have prevented me from preaching any sermon at all, we will end the services with a psalm. I will say the words plainly for the sake of the children. Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord his God, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed. The Lord raises up them that are bowed down, and preserves the strangers. The Lord unbinds the prisoners and opens the eyes of the blind.
I will tell you a strange thing. Perhaps, on the other hand, it is not altogether unexpected. The congregation found the substitutes for sermons more painful than the sermons themselves, and soon rescinded its action. Sabato Moraes was not an easy man to silence. But he was an easy man to talk to, even for a stranger.
You do not know me, Herr Moraes. My name is Meyerberg. Jonas Meyerberg.
But you seem to know me, Mr. Meyerberg.
Oh, yeah, natürlich.
So, does everybody in Germany know about me?
Nein, only my cousins. I have many of them.
I see. Do you plan to settle in America, Mr. Meyerberg?
I would like to, but it depends. I do not know if I should say it.
Please go on.
It was my cousin Felix who told me about you.
I remember he wanted to be a peddler. Is that what you also want?
Oh, I want to be a merchant. But I will start as a peddler. With your help, as you helped Felix?
Oh, now I understand. I think it can be managed, Mr. Meyerberg.
Ah, danke, danke schön, Herr Moraes. You are very generous.
Not at all. I expect you to repay the money.
Oh?
You're surprised, Jonas Meyerberg.
No, but...
But I should not speak about it in such a business-like fashion, eh?
Please,
Let me explain. You see, every penny must do its work many times over because I have so little money and you have so many cousins. There's no hurry, Jonas.
Thank you, Mr. Moraes, but I have the money.
Well, in that case, all right.
In fact, I have almost enough besides to buy a horse and wagon.
Good. Then you'll be practically a merchant.
Oh, no. No, I'm still a peddler.
Oh, it's nothing to be ashamed of, Jonas.
It is not that, Mr. Moraes.
Well, some of New England's oldest families that trace their descent back to the Mayflower owe their fortune to a grandfather who was a successful peddler.
But he did not remain a peddler, eh? Neither will I. Well, I take up your time, Mr. Moraes.
Oh, wait. Jonas, I don't see your services in the synagogue.
Oh, well, I travel so much, you know.
But when you're home?
It is not for me, Mr. Moraes. I'm a greenie. People laugh at my English.
Oh, you'll soon be talking like a Mayflower descendant. But what has that to do with it?
Oh, please believe me, it matters very little.
No, Jonas, it matters a great deal.
All right, I will tell you. Whenever Mr. Levi looks at me, whenever he talks about no matter what, it reminds me that his family has been in America for a few centuries and mine for a few months.
I'm not sure that it's true, but if it is so, then don't you see you have an obligation?
I, Mr. Moraes? I have an obligation?
Of course. How else will Samuel Levy learn to talk to a man and not to his ancestors?
In whatever degree men were victims, he stood on their side, and he was not silent.
Why was only one man created? So that in generations to come, no one might say, I am better than thee.
And then Sabato Moraes, the gentle scholar, added,
man was created on the sixth, the last day. If ever he is filled with pride, it can be said to him, a flea preceded thee in creation.
The world has no scarcity of victims, now or then. They came to America by the thousands with a dream of peace and freedom. Pursued by hunger and by tyranny over the minds of men, all the nationalities of Europe, Irish, Hungarian, Polish, Italian. For the Jews of Germany in the 1850s, there were years of migration. In the 70s, the first trickle of new immigrants appeared, fleeing from the Cossacks' whip, from the memory of past pogroms and the threat of new ones. And Sabato Moraes was on their side.
What can I do for you, Mr. Moraes?
Tell me, Jonas, now that you're a merchant...
Ah, a manufacturer, Mr. Moraes. Ladies' dresses, ready-made.
Tell me, how many people do you employ?
How many? Come, see for yourself. Not that I couldn't use... not that I couldn't use plenty more operators, especially if they understand a sleeve.
There are plenty available, Jonas.
Where? Send them to me. As many as you can. Ah, you mean those greenhorns from Russia? Fresh off the boat without a word of English? What's the matter? What did I say? Where are you going, Mr. Moraes?
If it were for myself, Jonas, I would not have come back.
Mr. Moraes, I can't tell you how sorry I am.
Then you'll give them work in your shop?
Please, try to understand.
Other manufacturers in Philadelphia take them on.
Well, then let the others take them on. Here they're always arguing with each other about the Talmud and with me about wages.
Jonas, they come to America without a penny. Have you seen how they live? Have you seen the hunger on their children's faces?
I don't want to argue with you. Believe me, I want to help. Here, you take this. You will know how to use it best.
How many millions are you giving me?
I do what I can, but after all, I'm not a Rothschild.
If you were, and if you gave me all the millions, it would not be enough. They need work, Jonas.
Then let them find it. Why is it my responsibility?
Once you told me that you have many cousins, Jonas, the number of your brothers is much greater.
All right, Mr. Moraes. Send them to me, my brothers. Is your machine not going, Brother Aronson?
Who knows what the machine thinks? But if it's like a man, turning, turning, turning for 12 hours, it must be dizzy.
Never mind the jokes, Aronson. Remember, if you don't produce, you don't earn.
I don't forget, Mr. Meyerberg. All the same, for what you pay us here in the shop, I can afford a little vacation.
What is all this whispering?
Well, 15 minutes in the middle of the day. To eat, we're entitled.
I didn't say that you're not entitled, Aronson.
Fine, so we're eating and discussing.
That's what I mean. You're working here how many months now? And I never heard such a quiet discussion.
Naturally, it's a very deep question of right and wrong.
Ah? Well, let me hear. I've studied a little Talmud myself. Maybe I know an answer.
No, Mr. Meyerberg. This is a question for operators, not manufacturers. Stop your machine.
What is this? I'll tell you when it's time for eating.
There's a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to sow and a time to rend.
I don't want to hear your quotations.
A time to keep silence and a time to speak.
Now, don't joke with me, Aronson. Start the machines. Do you hear?
It is the time to speak, Mr. Meyerberg. About wages.
Oh, of course, Aronson, of course. Only not now. After working hours, like always. Aronson, have I ever refused to sit down and talk with you?
No, Mr. Meyerberg. But this time, maybe you'll listen.
Where is the place of the leader of a congregation? In the pulpit. And where shall you look for a scholar? Among old manuscripts. In those days of the first major strike in the sweatshops of Philadelphia, Sabato Moraes was in the cold rooms and empty kitchens of the striking workers, and his eyes were no longer calm.
It's 2 weeks now, Aronson.
Longer than that, Mr. Moraes. It's 14 days. 42 breakfasts and suppers.
How long can it go on, and what will you do?
It's a simple matter, Mr. Moraes. I will give instructions to my wife and children that they are not to be hungry.
Aronson, will you meet with Jonas Meyerberg?
Will he agree to raise the wages, Mr. Moraes?
I don't know.
Well, then what's the use of talking?
Agreement cannot come out of refusing to talk.
All right, all right. You can tell him I accept his invitation.
Well, I forgot to mention, Aronson, that the invitation is mine. He doesn't know about it yet.
With all respect, Mr. Moraes, who appointed you to arbitrate between us?
Is it important, Jonas? Maybe it was Aronson's little boy, a sufficiently high authority.
I see.
If you have any objections, Mr. Meyerberg, I can leave just as easy as I came in.
Sit down, Aronson. Don't be in such a hurry. Still, Mr. Moraes, there is one question in my mind. Your sympathy is with Aronson and the other workers in my shop, eh?
Well, how can it not be?
Well, yet there's an idea in my mind that an arbitrator is supposed to be impartial.
But I am impartial, Jonas. I'm on your side, too.
Uh-huh. I can see how your impartiality can benefit Aronson and his people, but what about me? How will I benefit?
Don't you know? Do you want me to tell you here?
Well, why not? This is no time to keep secrets from Aronson. Tell me, Mr. Moraes, what will this arrangement do for me?
Jonas, it may help you to sleep at night.
Out of the question, Aronson. You'll have to take less.
For that, we didn't have to go out on strike.
I can't give him what he's asking, Mr. Moraes. Here are the figures in black and white. Materials overhead.
I see them, Jonas.
No, you can't just look. You have to study them.
Later, first.
Well, what do you mean later? Later. Without figures, how do you know where you stand?
First, you have to decide where you want to stand. You have to decide what is right.
I'll tell you. A businessman is entitled to a profit. Our friend Aronson doesn't agree?
I agree, Mr. Meyerberg. But the working man is entitled to a living wage.
Fine. Just fine. And now we're back where we started from.
No, Jonas, because now we can ask the next question. How much profit do you want?
As much as I can get.
And at whose expense?
Mr. Moraes, I have to manage my business by the figures. Income and expenses. Money owed, money owing. Profit and loss.
And your life, Jonas? How do you have to manage your life?
After 7 hard weeks, the strike was settled on the basis of a principle that Sabato Moraes permitted no one to forget.
Justice. Justice shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live.
And now, while still the leader of Congregation Mikveh Israel, he could return to Maimonides College, organized only a few years previously, where he was professor of biblical literature.
Excuse me, Professor. I don't like to trouble you.
Why, no trouble at all, young man. How can I help you?
I was looking at the list of subjects offered in the college.
Why, are you interested in languages? You can study Greek, Latin, German, French,
Hebrew, Chaldaic?
Well, no.
Then you might choose from natural science, history, mathematics, astronomy, philosophy, constitutional law. That is, if you're interested in general culture.
Professor, it was my impression that Maimonides College was a Jewish college.
If you want to study for the rabbinate, there's homiletics, the Bible, the Talmud, the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch, Maimonides, comparative theology. I'm overwhelming you.
No, only I noticed from the list that the college has a faculty of 6.
Yes.
They must be unusual men.
And I'll tell you, my friend, there's something even more unusual. Have you already enrolled for classes?
Not yet.
If you do, the college will have a student body of 4.
Maimonides College, the first school for advanced Jewish studies in the Western Hemisphere, was forced to close its doors, and Sabato Marais began to fashion new doors.
Speaking as one who is not an ordained rabbi...
I have not always agreed with you in the past, Mr. Marais, but I do not believe that we have felt a lack.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. Nevertheless, a congregation should have a rabbi as its leader.
If you called us together, Mr. Marais, to convince us of your shortcomings, you can't do it.
No, Jonas. I want to convince you that we need a seminary to train rabbis and teachers, an institution of higher learning for students of Judaism.
You never ask anything easy. Do you realize what is involved?
Of course. We'll need a faculty, a student body, and a place where they may learn together.
You've left something out, Mr. Marais. Money?
Mm-hmm. For that, my friends, I'm relying on you. You never give up, do you?
Many times, Jonas, many times.
But always at night, before I fall asleep. In the morning, I forget.
Do you know what people are saying, Mr. Marais?
That I'm becoming a nuisance about this idea of a seminary?
There's a Hebrew Union College now in Cincinnati. There's a yeshiva or two in the East. Why do we need another institution?
There is room for another institution with another viewpoint. Only not in Philadelphia. New York is becoming the center of the American Jewish community. Jonas, I have written down some figures. Will you look at them?
You've reached that stage, eh?
It will require a good deal of money.
I don't mind telling you, Mr. Marais, that I have a good deal of money.
Well, I will take with thanks what you can give, but the seminary will belong to the entire community, and it will be built with pennies of thousands, as well as your money.
Shall I write a check now?
Not yet, Jonas. I will tell you when the time comes.
The time came in the year 1886. Sabato Marais was the president of the newly formed Jewish Theological Seminary, and it was a fulfillment for the community and for him.
It is my Benjamin, the child of my old age.
In the Jewish Theological Seminary, you will find a portrait of Sabato Marais, a tall man with gentle eyes, a man like a tree planted by the waters and whose roots are many. His leaf shall be green, and he shall not cease from yielding fruit. Like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Alan Strook, New York attorney and chairman of the board of directors of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Mr. Strook.
We are well aware today of the gap which often lies between preaching and practice. Nations that talk peace at the conference table arm for war. Parents who deplore juvenile delinquency do not in their own lives set an example of ethical conduct for their children. Citizens who cry for civil rights in some other area of the country ignore the problem of real equality for Negroes or Mexicans or Puerto Ricans at their own doors. To Sabato Marias, such discrepancies between avowal and practice were anathema. To be an abolitionist in relationship to the South meant for him not only to preach freeing the slaves, but also to alleviate the sufferings of the underprivileged everywhere. To believe in human dignity meant to support man's right to a living wage, whether this idea was generally acceptable at the time or not. The test for a course of action was not its popularity, but whether it was right. Marias' whole life was devoted to reminding us that actions do indeed speak more loudly than words, that in his phrase, he whose deeds exceed his wisdom is a tree whose roots are many. Quite appropriately, therefore, we honor Sabato Marias today, not only for what he said, but for what he did. And what he did, or more particularly, what will be best remembered among the things he did, was not merely to preach Judaism to the emerging Jewish community of America, but to found the Jewish Theological Seminary. Marias was a man approaching 70 when his vision of an American rabbinical seminary began to materialize. This meant for Marias an arduous teaching schedule, a heartbreaking fundraising assignment, both assumed at a time of life when most people reduce their commitments. But it also meant doing what was necessary and right as he saw it. And therefore it meant that generations of American Jews owe a great debt to Sabato Marias for sacrifices which first made possible the training of American rabbis and teachers whose education infused the ancient faith and traditions of Judaism into the culture of the New World.
Thank you, Mr. Strook. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Leaf Shall Be Green, was written by Joseph Mindell. It is one of a series of programs dramatizing outstanding moments in American Jewish history. Cantor David Cutterman sang the liturgical introduction. Roger DeCoven was featured as Sabato Marias, Ralph Bell as Jonas Meyerberg. Others in the cast were Alan Bergman, Maurice Tarplin, and Robert Trenor. The narrator was Norman Rode. This is Roger Bowman. Our program was directed by George Boutsos. This program was pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.
This is the NBC Radio Network.